handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bay.
We're back, and about 7 minutes into hour three, a couple of things. I did hear from Jerry Brown, and their Thoroughgraph is not the only website that's been hit by this situation. And I guess it emanates from a server out west, and I happened to just notice Jim Miller mentioned that Hawthorne, their website's been down, and they're also at the mercy of this thing. So I guess it's it's one of those weird, nothing to do with Lower Manhattan. I use that as an example of when they last had an issue, but Jerry says that he didn't give me an ETA. I'll read you what Jerry said. Power outage out west, where the site is hosted, and they're working on it too. And actually, it explains for those that have been trying to email, same thing. Those that were somebody actually got an email saying that they were having trouble. I think, was it Brad? Was our friend Brad Morgan? I think wrote me a note that said he tried to email Thoroughgraph and didn't get through. So that's why if you're trying to email them, you can't do that either. So hang in there. Let me see if Jerry and the team, because they talked about maybe doing a sort of a direct today if the site was not coming back up. So let me take a peek at that before we get Seth and Bill McClain to. And thanks to Dave Kaiser for the prompt, by the way, about that lake, the Grand Lake of the Cherokees, is that lake in Oklahoma. It was amazing. And tell you something else. Just on the northern end of the lake, as we were crossing north of it, moving toward Springfield, Missouri, and the land of cashew chicken. You've heard me talk about it. It's the craziest thing you'll ever see. I mean, you literally drive. There's a whole story with cashew chicken in Springfield, Missouri. But it started with one family, with one Chinese restaurant, the cashew chicken, and every single restaurant up and down every major thoroughfare in Springfield. Cashew chicken everywhere. But outside of the lake, on the northern end of the lake, we stopped. We kept seeing these fields, and we didn't know what was in the fields. And it wasn't until we saw an actual pecan farm and processing facility that we realized that they were pecan. And Tina likes, should I say pecan or pecan? This will set off a whole argument too. Pecan or pecan? We stopped at this pecan plant right before I said, let's go look at this lake. Let's see what this lake. It looks amazing. So we ended up, 2 hours driving around, into this lake, Grand Lake of the Cherokee. But I'll find out what the name of this was. We went in, and so we said, all right, we got to get some nuts. She likes pecan. I do not. Never did. And she loves pecan pie. So we start to get a bunch of the, different nuts, candied nuts and salted nuts and whatever. So we're picking off, a bunch of pecan things, and we're at the counter, and there was fudge at the counter. Now, I have a different different response to fudge than I do to pecans. And there was a woman buying a bunch of fudge. And so we're checking out, and we looked at her, and she looked at us, and she said, "You have to get the fudge." I said, "Really?" She said, "Trust me." All right. Let me tell you something. Tina loves fudge. I'm a big fan of fudge. This was exceptional, and I mean, among the best that we've ever had, either of us. I will find the name of the place. And it was summer, obviously, and so it was warm. So we knew, like, when we were going to park, we said we better eat this while we. Unbelievably good. So there's a big push on fudge. All right, Seth Merrow is standing by, and I guarantee you that Seth actually there's a real chance that Seth has driven through this portion of the country when he would go to Albuquerque, and I don't know how much of the show he's heard today. What's today? Wednesday. So he's not on. Were you on TV today?
No TV today. No TV tomorrow. But the holiday. I was on Monday, so I'm back on Friday.
Ah, so you're on that. You're on that. Yeah, you're on that 4-day swing week.
Holiday. Well, with the holiday on. Nice racing on Monday. So yeah. I came in on Monday, so I get my holiday day tomorrow and my regular 2 days today and yesterday. So yeah, a little downtime. Although still handicapping and whatnot.
Well, what's your?
But I don't. I do not. I definitely have not stopped at your fudge place. I remember that. I like fudge as well.
Yeah. Well, I've got to, before we do anything horse related, we got to cover off all these topics from the last 2 days, because I guarantee you, with your traversing of the Northeast from here to Maine, and actually one of the amusement park topics that did not get a push was Old Orchard Beach. Nobody mentioned Old Orchard Beach so far.
Oh, Old Orchard Beach is, I still, when I go up, I have to make a trip down just nostalgic-wise. And it's different now. When I was a kid, the one I talk about all the time with my siblings, they had a big wood slide, you know, polished wood high, and that you would sit next to somebody and you'd sit on like a straw mat. And it would click, 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 click. The seat would click up and around the corner, and then it would dump you off on the top. And there was like a little straightaway and then a big hairpin turn. And the hairpin turn, as soon as you went around that, it just dipped to nothing. You know, your heart went up in your throat as you went around the turn. And then you zipped down the slide and you got to a little belt at the end that slowed you down. But, oh, man, that was fabulous. And then they had a great fun house, too, that... The great story on that is I was a little kid and my sister was holding my hand and and all of a sudden she lets go of me, not intentionally, but, and then I'm it's dark. It's a fun house. It's dark. And I'm like, hey, oh, and I'm in like the maintenance class. And so my siblings are like, where are you? I'm over here. And so eventually they got me. It was a fun house that day.
Well, that's amazing, because you could have, this could have turned into one of those stories where you became a carny.
That's right. And although Old Orchard didn't move around, so I don't know whether I would have, I guess you're still a carny, though, if you're working in a place like that.
There is no question, Seth, that there really was potential for whose book was it? Is it a Ray Bradbury? It's a Ray Bradbury story, right? That something wicked this way comes. They get absorbed, right? They get absorbed into the carnival.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't know that then.
By the prickling of my thumbs. Unbelievable.
Oh, and then there was also, he was kind of famous because he had pinned up next to him. They were yellowing, but newspaper clip outs touting his, there was, and I can't remember his name now. He was somebody, the weight guesser.
Ooh.
And like I say, there were clippings from newspapers and things. And so you'd come up and you would guess your weight.
Oh, well.
And if he was more than a certain number off, you would get like a stuffed animal.
Well, there's only one person to follow that up with, and that's Dave Hill. Dave Hill knows all the ins and outs of the professional weight guessing career.
I wonder if they have a secret convention,
yes.
like the guys out in Vegas. I wonder if there's a secret weight guessing convention.
There's no doubt, and also the age, the guys that can guess an age within 3 months of your birth date and stuff. That's a skill. That's a polished skill. What about locally in this area? Because the Lake George stuff. There's been the Gaslight Village, Frontier Town, Story Town, Magic Kingdom. There's been a flood of that as well. And what about Santa? Did you ever go to Santa's Land in Putney?
No, but when I was a kid, we went to Story Town and Frontier Town. Which have now become the big amusement park. But when I was a kid, I remember going when it was much smaller scale than it is now.
This has gotten a tremendous. Exactly the response I kind of. I sort of in the back of my mind said, if I run with this, I think people are gonna get a kick out of it and respond, and they have. So that I'm glad of that. And you might eat. What about Cajos? Did you catch the tuna fish sandwich reference with Sid?
No.
Yeah. Did your parents take you for clothes for winter jacket at the Coe's coat factory?
Oh no, I don't think I ever. I as you're talking about that though, I think at one point I did go there for. I think yes. Now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't offhand. Yeah, so I think I have as a kid. Well, gone there at one point for a jacket.
Well, if you were wink wink in the know. You'd go upstairs to the lunchroom, and they would give you a free lunch, tuna fish, ham salad, or egg salad. I said chicken, but egg salad, egg, tuna, and ham salad sandwiches in wax bags.
When I was a kid, I did go to the Utica Club Brewery out in Utica. Vincent Dooley and
Schultz. Schultz and Dooley.
Schultz. I always say Vincent because, yeah, the Georgia coach. Because we used to have the mugs, too. But went, and if you were an adult, you got a free beer. If you were a kid, which I was at the time, you got a free root beer.
I don't know if I've told this story. I probably have, and this is if Tina was here, she'd be calling me Grandpa as soon as I launch into it. While at Colgate, and as the voice of Colgate hockey, as the play-by-play man, I also try to promote do some promotion for Coach Slater, and I was looking for a advertising sponsor for the broadcasts and. My late friend John Hubbard, and we visited his memorial stone in Hamilton on Sunday, and John took me up. We went up together to the FX Matt Brewing Company, the Utica Club, and I'd gotten an appointment with the marketing director, so I pitched him on being a sponsor of the broadcasts and we were going to do the distribution of these schedules, and we put, Matt's beer and of course the beer ball. For those of you that, you remember beer balls, Seth? Remember the beer balls?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, those are big. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
Matt's had those beer balls that were great. And so Hubs and I go, and we go in the morning, and we had like a 10:30 meeting, I think. And I pitched them, and they gave me $500. They said, "We'll give you $500, and you can put our name on the posters and on the pocket schedules." So it was a big success. I got $500, and I think we also got them to sponsor a fireman's night at one of the games, one of the home games. like an early season game before we started playing the ECAC schedule. And so now Hubs, they said you'd like to go on a tour. And Hubs, you know, Hubs grew up in Utica, and he'd been on the tour 100 times. So absolutely. So we go on the tour, as you mentioned, and we get to the, it ends in that beautiful tavern, in that tavern room where you get free, supposedly a free beer. Except that Hubs and I were the first people on the tour, and nobody was around. It was like 11:30, and we proceeded to have about a dozen free beers. And that included, and it also included an absolute, I mean, a girl that was drawing the tap Hubs was married. I was not. I certainly was angling for a number. And so now it's like 11:45, and we're already just a mess. And so we went out the exit, and there was I'm going to forget the name of the joint, but there was right there. There was like in New York, it would be like a Blarney Rock or a Blarney Stone. And, you know, where they had the hot buffet, slicing, you know, ham, turkey, roast beef sandwiches. And we went in there and proceeded to drink for the next like 2 hours. Honestly, this has got to be 1979 or 80. I have no idea how we got back to Hamilton. I mean, by 2 o'clock, we'd been drinking for 3-4 hours already. That's my Utica Club FX Matt Brewing Company.
Toasting the $500. Woo! $500 sale.
We may have drank $500 worth of at that point. Although in that era, I don't know if you remember this. In that era, happy hours for $1, they would give you, this is in Hamilton, I'm sure it was true elsewhere upstate, you could get 7 Jenny Cream ponies, little 7-ouncers. You could get Jenny Creams or Utica Clubs or Matt's, those 7-ounce ponies, you'd get 7 for a dollar.
A buck. My buck story is up here at Barclays Bank on Broadway. You should go up there on the weekend, Saratoga on the weekends at Barclays. It actually wasn't the weekend. It was a Thursday special, $1 Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
And they didn't kid around when they poured it. And by the end of the night, that place was a zoo.
We had that, the Old Stone Jug in Hamilton. You could get, sours, pitchers of sours for a dollar. Or $1 Long Island iced teas. I absolutely. Oh my God.
There would be people bar diving because the bar, it used to be, they called it Barclays because it used to be a bank. And
right,
so they left what the kind of the tellers, you know, marble. And by the end of the night, people were diving off into the arms of their friends, hopefully.
Oh God. Too funny. These are great. It's all fresh in my head too, because you know, we were just there. We were just in Hamilton, and luckily we missed the graduation was last week. So the town was it was very quiet. Things had, you know, most of the kids had left, obviously. But I always love, that's one of the nice things about going to see the kids and the babies. You know, we get to stop, get to go through the region, which I still love. It's one of the reasons I, you know, when I left Montreal and I came here, I've come back to upstate New York, you know, over and over again over the years. So
yeah, I haven't been out. Normally, I'll go out and catch a couple of basketball games, but I haven't been out to my alma mater, Syracuse, in at least a couple of years. I got to get out there.
Well.
That campus is amazing how different it is now from all of us.
Colgate keeps building. They keep, but it actually doesn't look all that different because the buildings they build match the buildings that have been there since the 1840s. So a lot of it is new, but it doesn't necessarily look any different. It's kind of funny that in that regard, yeah, they.
Yeah, I suppose Syracuse, the actual campus, isn't it? It's kind of just in the immediate vicinity. You know, there's a hotel that wasn't there when I was there. Marshall Street has changed a little bit. Marshall Street was a trip too. That was a lot of fun. Well, also,
we already referenced Caroma with the earlier with Sid, but the other place that I guarantee you went that was there in that era that I used to go to when I would maybe date a
Fagan's?
No, Phoebe's.
Phoebe's. I'm not sure I know of.
Phoebe's was a Phoebe's Cafe may still be there. Was a the classic fern bar, with brass rails and ferns.
Are you sure you're not talking about Fagan's? Because that was Fagan's.
No, I could have sworn it was Phoebe's. Is it Fagan's I'm thinking of?
Well, Fagan's was that. It was a fern bar with the brass and everything.
Maybe.
Right, kind of at the end. It wasn't actually on Marshall Street. When you got to the end of Marshall Street, it was across that cross street.
Interesting. All right. This may require some research, but
that was the place on like Thursday nights. So that was definitely.
Well, here that I just did Phoebe's, and it did come up in Syracuse. Interesting. I'm wondering if, on East Genesee.
Okay, that's more downtown.
All right, maybe some. Interesting. All right, we're gonna have to. So maybe I am thinking of Fagan's, and I'm conflating it with Phoebe's. But I remember Phoebe. I do remember going to Phoebe's. And taking a date, a tri-delt action.
No.
All right. Well, now the next important question. I was watching on Monday. I was watching the Fox show. I'm sorry, I didn't tune in. I should have tuned in for you. Sorry. Did you pick Scherzando? Did you bet Scherzando?
Oh! I'm glad you brought that up because last night I was thinking it was the last race, so I had handicapped and I'm packing up, and I thought, well, let me just stick around and watch the last race, and so I'm sitting in there, Danny in the control room, and I started going, here comes Bick's horse. And then they turned in the stretch. I said, he's going to win.
Yep.
And it made him nice move. And then there was another side where I thought, no, he's got it. And then when the race was over, like I said, I was done for the day. So I walked out. When I got home, I looked at the chart and everything. It didn't say, did they look at the race? Because the chart even says, and I said to Dan, I said, I think he got bothered. You know, so he could wind up with second in here, but the chart didn't make any mention of a inquiry, but did mention he got herded out.
He got herded, all right. And it's funny because when I brought it up with Gary at first, then he went back and watched the head on, and he really, and even Javier didn't even really say anything to him. And Andy noted it immediately post race. And said, if they, you know, if he said Javier's got to claim foul, but Javier he didn't even say anything to Gary, and then when Gary watched it, he and Paul watched it a bunch of times. He said, you know what, he thought it was kind of incidental, and I did not notice it per se. Andy called me and he said, you know, didn't you see that? And I said, well, I said, to be honest, I wasn't watching for that. I was just kind of evaluating whether, you know, he could get up and where was, you know, where the winner Creesa was going, and he dove inside, and you know, to eventually get you know, his shoulder in front of both us and the runner up. So I don't know. I
will admit I didn't watch the head up, but when I left studio, I said,
right.
I think that inside horse came out, so it wouldn't surprise me if they take a look. And then, like I say, the chart mentioned it, but that, you know, one way or the other, that was a huge run. He's going to be fun this summer.
Well, we get one more. We'll get one more down there. It'd be nice, actually. I'd like to see him he really feels like a horse now that he's healthy and you know, if he gets the firm turf that he clearly likes. And also, it's hard to know if Belmont and the configuration, if that's part of you know, the sweeping turns. I mean, he's a good size. He's not enormous, but he's a good size horse, and he's got, you know, got a nice enough lengthy stride. If maybe the sweeping, you know, turf course turn is something that, you know, that's a positive. But he hasn't run at Saratoga yet, because he's had two summers in a row as a 3-year-old and as a 4-year-old where he's been basically just not 100%. And so he's gotten that time off. It's been maddening in that regard, you know, to miss the bulk of the turf season. But it feels like, knock on wood, that's behind him. He's, you know, he's a 5-year-old maiden, but he's made 80,000, and there's still plenty of racing, I think, for him yet to come.
I mean, 3/4 of the stretch, I thought he was going to win. That was just, it was huge. That'd be great to have him win up at Saratoga. That'd be a lot of fun. And I always say that. That's one of the nice things about you being a radio host and having a big fan base of just the regular fans out there and being an owner, because you and I, being kind of closer to the game, talk to owners all the time. And I don't think regular fans realize a lot of the things owners have to go through. And you, with this horse, you mentioned it, the health, but then you talk to owners and also it's frustrating. A lot of times you look in the condition book and there's just not a race for your horse coming up, and so you're forced to go someplace you don't necessarily want to go to. And I think those are great issues that you can bring up as an owner and kind of present it to the everyday people who otherwise just wouldn't be aware of that thing, those kind of things.
Well, and that honestly, when Tina says to me, why are you doing this, because there's a lot of frustrations, and not just the frustrations of racing, but you know, you've got people that in some cases you know, kind of walk away and don't want to, you know, if you don't win enough, they don't want to pay, and you know, there's parts of this that are really maddening, and I don't talk about that tremendous amount, but I mean, we've lost a lot of money. I mean, it's a sinkhole, to be honest, and both, you know, Chuck and Gary, you know, they've lost a ton as well, making it possible for a lot of people. You know, we introduced the game to a lot of people with it, and then the breeding. Both I've tried twice now to do something on the breeding side, and it's been maddening. I mean, knock on wood, we haven't had the deal with the dying young horses. I mean, we had 3 babies die. I mean, you can't even imagine how upsetting it is.
And again, that's. I was going to say an everyday part of the game. That'd be maybe overemphasizing it with that kind of thing. But that's an occurrence that owners deal with all the time. And I just think a lot of fans don't realize it, don't see that part of the game. So I think it's worth, you know, talking about a little bit and just letting people know the frustrations that happen on the other side of the game. We always talk about the, you know, the triangle, the tracks, the owners and the fans. And so the owners are one of those major 3 components of the game. And I think it's worth knowing what's involved in that.
Yeah, agreed. And that's why that's one of the things I've tried to do here. And being involved gives you the hands-on opportunity to explain it to people. And I think people have heard all of the ups and all of the downs. So, We're trying.
Monday was an up, though, because I think you're going to have a good season with that horse. I was rooting for you. I was pretty excited coming down the stretch.
Well, got him back in about a little less than 4 weeks. We'll come back with one more. Otherwise, Seth, what here we are, a week out from Belmont week. You coming down? We're going to do it any?
No, I don't think so. I think just sticking around here for TV.
All right. Well.
Are you going to be down the whole week?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, I knew you'd be down. I just wasn't sure whether you'd kick it off early in the week or not.
If there's a Triple Crown try, 2 weeks, and if it's a regular Belmont week, 1 week. So we will be starting on Monday. We'll be down there. Probably, I don't know. Tina asked me this morning, actually, as she was leaving. She said, "Are you going? You going Monday? Sunday? Or are you going Saturday?" And I don't know yet. All right. So anyway, let me get final thoughts. Weekend, or maybe some plays for you, something today. What do you got?
I looked up one to, and maybe make it into a double. But I thought the seventh race at Delaware today was a little bit interesting on the grass. It looks like a nice full field. And I will put the caveat in: I haven't had a chance to look up scratches or anything. But at this point, it's a nice full field on the turf. Delaware seventh. I went 6, 7, 2, and 12. If the morning line holds up, I may play around and exact the box those, because the 7 Palio's 10-1. But the horse I have on top, and I'm not sure the morning line will hold. 4-1 on Mr. Shades of Gray. Grand Motion runner coming off a seasonal debut at Monmouth, which was a near miss just a couple weeks ago. So I kind of like the confident, fairly quick turnaround. Was a beaten favorite that day and just missed by a head. Ran third, but by a head. Now comes down to Delaware. So I think Mr. Shades of Gray is good looking. Palio comes off a layoff for Mike Stidham. But if this horse comes back ready to run, I think fits with this group. And again, as I said, 10-1 on the morning line. Carronade is 8-1 on the morning line and comes up from Tampa. And I said on TV the last few days, it seems like over the past, going back to maybe Keeneland, the Tampa runners, as they've left from Tampa this season, have done pretty well at some of the other venues. So I think Carronade could be a little bit of a player coming up from the West Coast of Florida, and Bassinio, the 12 horse lightly raced for Arnaud Delacour, also could be a player at 6-1. So again, it's a nice full field. And as I say, I'll play around a little bit in there with 6, 7, 2, and 12. And then I may play the 6 into doubles into the 8th race. And in the 8th race, the 2 favorites are kind of logical. But if that morning line holds up with the 6, Mr. Shades of Gray, in the 8th, number 5, Our Fantasy, and number 6, Aphrodita. As I say, they're the 2 logicals, but I may play some doubles into that 8th race as well today at Delaware.
There we go. Delaware off and running, and Seth, I appreciate it, and we will talk from Belmont next week, and then Sunday after
the
Belmont.
Right, boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground, baby. There's no boots.
Exactly.
There's no boots like boots on the ground.
I was watching TV. I think it was CNN, and somebody was literally referring to boots on the ground. And I started laughing last night. I thought, it's getting picked up. It's going viral.
Yeah, exactly. It's just another of your favorite referrals from Loose on the Lead, back for its 33rd great year this summer. Thanks.
All right, take it easy.
We were renewed, right?
As you said that, I thought we haven't really had the normal meeting. It usually happens by now. I'll check this week. I'm sure, but I haven't heard.
Yeah, who else would do it? Who else would do it? Who else would do what we do? Seth Merrill,
exactly.
Everybody. So great.
Good luck today.
Thanks, Seth. Seth Merrill, folks. All right, we're going to round out the morning, and it's been an adventure. It always is, right? Bill McLean is going to join us, and this is going to be an overdue visit. Bill McLean has been winning races around the game for a number of years. I'll let Bill tell you how many years. He joins us now after the win at Golden Gate in the All-American. I'm going to be somebody that will take charge. And Bill, thanks so much for this and congratulations.
Well, thank you, Steve. It was a great day.
This is a nice win, and you beat you know, you beat real horses. You've come close with this horse in the Berkeley when you go back to November, the graded stake. He did win the Grace, you know, preparing for the Berkeley. But, you know, this All-American's not graded right now, but it might as well be.
Yes, no, it was a solid group of horses.
Very much with Tripoli and Royal Ship showing up in there for Mandela, and there's really a lot of things I could do with you. I mean, this is a 5 year old, and you know, nice gelding. Talk a little bit about him before we talk about your career.
Well, he's a handful to train. He's got his own deal. Everybody knows him. He'll go out there and wheel around, and he does his own thing in the morning. I mean, my gallop boy, Felix Mora, he gets on him all the time, but he'll go out there and do everything right. 2 days later, he'll wheel and won't want to go, and he's a handful. And sometimes you want him to work, he won't work. So he's been a handful, but I got good help, and I was hoping he was fit enough. I wasn't sure because he kind of missed the work, but he ran well, very very well. And Chavez rode him excellent, and it was kind of Santos Rivera has been riding him.
Yeah.
And he picked the Sammy Calvario's horse, which he just got beat a nose on him in the $100,000 stake about a month ago. So it was kind of a toss-up, I think. But I was very happy with the ride. And, of course, very, very happy with the outcome.
As you should be. Went off at 5-1 and beat Steve Sherman's Shermie American Farmer with Anton Georgie at 23-1. Beat him, you know, held him basically at bay. I'm going to be somebody. This Max Trigg owns this horse. And I think that is right. Is it? No, I'm sorry. Max Trigg was. I want to talk about Max Trigg. And
Take it to heart.
Yeah, take it to heart. I want to ask about that. But this has got a hat full of owners, and you're,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. I bought him in Kentucky as a yearling, and I was bidding on him, and I talked to the lady that was consigning him, and. I bid 28,000, and somebody bid 29, and I was hemming and hawing, and she came over and said, "Bill, this is a nice colt. You should buy him." So I went to 30, and I got him for 30. And there's this one gentleman that I'd met through a client of mine, and he was wanting to get part of a yearling, and I said, "Well, I can sell half to him." And And so I got back, and he never would answer my calls or anything. So I talked to some friends, and everybody chipped in, and it's turned out very good.
How about that? Even as a gelding, though, right? He's been gelded from early on, so he's been problematic in terms of, you know, training and dealing with it. It sounds like, yeah.
Yes, he as a 2-year-old here, he was. I don't know. Tim McKenna broke him up.
In
Yakima when we came. We brought the horses back from Kentucky, and he was easy to break. He said it went great, and I brought him down here, and he'd go on the racetrack and wheel and wouldn't go, and sent him back to Randy at a running horse. He's got a dirt track, and he says, "What's the matter with this horse? He goes great." But he doesn't like the tapita. He just what our track here is, and I brought him back in, and he was acting up again. And Nancy, the outrider, she just about was ready to rule him off. But we gelded him and sent him out to another farm and got him going. And he's always been a little problem on the tapeta. On the dirt, you know, at Del Mar and Pleasanton last year, he's a lot better. He's a lot better on the. He likes the dirt and the turf, and he trains well on the dirt, but he has his quirks on this racetrack.
Worked out okay here, though. This is.
I just hoping he was fit enough, and he was, and got a great trip, and it was a great day.
That's nice. This is five-year-old, as mentioned, will take charge, and I'm going to be somebody. And really, he obviously, you look at this record, 7 wins and 17 starts, 3 seconds. So, I mean, he rarely runs a bad race. Even when he was fifth last year in the Wicker at Del Mar, he was only beat a length in 3/4.
Yes, he ran a great race that day. I mean, he was kind of wide all the way, and he hung in there, just got a run, but he ran a good race. Yes, he did.
And that was against real horses too, Iridio, yeah. And Gregorian Chant and the likes, and Brand. Yeah. So, no, this is obviously you bought this horse right, and I mean, earnings wise, over $200,000 now.
Yeah. No, he's been great. It's a pleasant surprise. But yeah, I plan on running him in the Wicker this year. But now that he's won, he's not eligible if he won
right.
over 50,000. So it's a good reason not to be eligible.
Exactly. There'll be plenty of other opportunities, and that's a nice problem to have. Really, this is career. Also got a career high figure.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the buyer number.
Yeah, number came back. I think a 96, I think, if I'm not mistaken, which was actually 94. 94.
So 94. Basically, okay,
about basically what he's been, what he typically runs.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Nice. No.
Well, life is good right now.
That avoid. Well, Bill, that's a perfect segue because when I reached out to Rick Amerley and I said, Rick, tell me, I'd love to get Bill McLean on, and he said, oh my God, you'll love him. He's a great storyteller. You come from Western Canada, from British Columbia, that great heritage of Pacific Northwest on both sides of the border. I mean, so many good horsemen, Bill, come out of the region.
Yes, exactly. They sure have. Yep.
You worked for Troy Taylor.
Yeah, I worked for Troy Taylor when I was in high school. I'd rub horses in the summertime, either for Troy Taylor or Carl Bays up there. And in fact, Russell Bays was born up there when I was working for Carl one summer. Joe Bays' boy, Russell. And, I worked for the Bays family and Troy Taylor and Roy Taylor. Yeah, good horseman.
Troy Taylor passed maybe, 2 years ago or so, 3 years ago?
Yeah. About a year and a half ago, yeah.
Terrific horseman that we got to talk to the later stages of his career. I tell me, you got to talk about Bay Meadows, a place that it's bizarre to some degree that a place like Bay Meadows is gone, a racetrack that I don't think a lot of horse players and fans. I mean, if they're young or if they've come to the game in the last 10 or 15 years, they don't know what they've missed with Bay Meadows.
No, it was wonderful. It was a lot of fun. It was a great spot. You know, it was handy. It was, you know, people would fly in, and it was close to the airport. It was, clients would fly down for the weekend. It was really, really, everybody misses Bay Meadows.
Has construction ever started on the property?
Oh yeah,
it did. It finally did.
There's it's full. I mean, condos and everything.
Because it took a way longer period of time than they were making out. I mean, they were making out like it had to come down so that all this construction could start, and then it was easily 5 years or more before anything, I guess, I think, ever got going.
Yes, it took a while, but it's full up now.
Interesting. You know, one other part of Pacific North or of Bay Area racing, you got to work in that you know, as a trainer, Bobby Humphreys' tenure in the racing office.
God, I love Bobby. Bobby was so good.
Yeah.
And my owners, you know, we go to this Lucetti's restaurant over there, bar after the races, and Bobby was there, and got to be friends with some of my owners that flew down, and what a class guy. Good. Very good racing secretary and a really fun guy to be around. He had a lot of stories, Bobby. Yeah.
I'm thinking you also have been a contemporary of Greg Gilchrist and obviously with Jerry Hollendorfer, and you know, you're part of a tremendous community of horsemen in the Bay Area.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of really very good horsemen up here. It's people don't realize how good they are.
Tell me about that mare and take her to heart, who won. People probably forget the Hillsboro Handicap at Bay Meadows.
Yeah, it was a friend of mine, Pat Gormley. He was training her for Max Trigg up in Vancouver at Hastings Park. And he talked to me. He said, Bill, I got a pretty nice filly to send you down if you got room. I said, I didn't have very many horses in. And I said, I got lots of room, Pat. And so I got her ready to run. And I said, there's a race for 40,000 claiming. And I called Pat up. There's a race for 40. Oh, God, no. Don't. Max won't let her. He don't want to run her for 40. And so I run her an allowance race sprinting. I think she ran third. And then I got her on the turf. Guys, she really turned into a really good mare on the turf, and Max would come down all the time, that race there, I Agapito rode her, I think, Agapito Delgadillo. He was a good friend, and it was a tough race, and of course 100,000, and she looked like she was going to run about third coming down the lane, which would have been, I'd have been happy with third, you know, it was such a tough race, and got you dug in and won, and that was a very good evening at Bay Meadows. Max used to come down here, and he wouldn't drink, and when we were at Golden Gate, we stopped at Spanger's. He'd have two Guinnesses. Then take him to the airport. That's his drinks every day. Two Guinnesses. That was it for Max.
Well,
great gentleman.
Well, and she won a lot of other stakes. I mean, this was
yes,
the only graded stake, but she won all kinds of handicaps you name it, all kinds of black type races, Bay Meadows and Golden Gate and Emerald and Hollywood. You took her all over the place, the fairs.
Yeah, she
too.
It was one day at Golden Gate here. Bob McGrath, he was a great friend, really loved to gamble, really great guy, and he was working in the race office, and I went and saw him that was a Saturday morning, and he said, "You like anything today, Bill?" I said, "You know, I like to take her to heart today." And Brian Beach was an agent, and I think maybe Van wrote her that name. And he had Van Belvoir's book, and then Bob McGrath, they call him Big Man, and he talked to Brian. He said, "That's too tough for that mare, too tough." And she went and paid $27. I went to see Bobby the next morning. Did you get down? God damn that Beach. But yeah, she really had it, did well.
Made just under $500,000, 15-time yeah. winner.
Yeah, no, she was a special mare.
By blind spot.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, when they sent her down from Vancouver, I said, well, she'll have to run for a claiming price. But wow, she got on the turf and turned into a monster.
I love it. Well, Bill, this was an overdue pleasure to get you on. And
I sure appreciate it, Steve. It's been a nice ride. I started in Vancouver, then went to Long Acres, and they closed down Long Acres. And I used to come here in the fall, you know, Bay Meadows in the fall, and go back up at Christmas, and then we moved down here. And it's been great.
Wow. 1,249 wins. Next win is 1,250.
All right. I hope it comes quick.
Well, it could come as early, it looks like, as Saturday. Golden Gate, you got the maiden Motown Gal.
Yeah, she's got a chance, yeah.
There you go.
There we go, mate.
Three-year-old filly out of a Take Charge Indy mare. Well, Bill, thanks so much, and continued success.
Steve, thank you so much.
Not at all.
Very
Bill,
good.
Bill McLean.
All right, buddy.
Thanks. Bill McLean, and I'm going to be somebody. I love it. There's so many. You know, I'm sure John White's listening, and John probably, I should have probably reached out and gotten some tidbits from John, too, because that's his, you know, that's his sweet spot, all the great Pacific Northwest and either side of the border. When I lived in Canada and would go to Vancouver, it was exhibition at that point. It was Exhibition Park. Hastings. Fun morning. We breeze through here. Bill McLean and Seth, Sid, and Dick. Good luck if you're playing today. Lots of options out there on this Wednesday. The midweek. Ideas. The picks are up at the website for Presque Isle, but you've also got Horseshoe, you've got Indy, you've got Belterra, Delaware, Delta, Finger Lakes, Hawthorne, Parks, Penn National. We got tomorrow, we'll do the Penn National Friday card, the big Penn Mile Oaks card, Thistledown as well. Good luck, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America, but we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into